This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Good hour two coming up. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb, of course, the Monday edition. We'll go over more Week 9 games in the NFL. We've also got Matt Michelle to talk about college football. Speaking of college football, you know, look, the problem with overhyping some games is some of them just don't live up to it, right? You get these big moments under the lights, and sometimes you get these instant classics, but a lot of times there's just enough flaw in a team to be exposed on the brightest and biggest of stages. But Clemson and Notre Dame lived up to that. But more importantly, it put the conference in a really unique position. I always said when you have four teams across the country that are going to play for a national championship in the playoff, that if there's only one, and that's the SEC, that is going to ever put two teams in. But now the ACC could do this. This was one of those games that was perfect for what the ACC was. Perfect. Meaning, they got a double overtime victor. They got a team that was beat up just enough to make you question whether or not that loss is going to hurt them. And these two teams could meet again for the ACC title. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we roll along Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the Monday edition, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've gotten done week 9 of the NFL. Well, wrapping up tonight, we've got college football. Oh, it's Masters week. What else could be good, Ron Culver?
Well, the good of the wits. We talked about at the end of the of hour one about Alex Trebek passing.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about it here. I didn't really want to put it in bad. I couldn't put it in dumb. You know, I mean, he's definitely going to be missed. So it was like the only thing we could do is put him in good. Two reasons for it being good. The amount of outpouring love from everyone. I'm not just saying celebrities. I'm saying I haven't seen one thing yet where it was like, he was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, referring to him as the GOAT. There's just so much outpouring of emotion and love for Alex Trebek. It's amazing. And then you keep seeing the same kind of clips coming up and over where the one guy, you know, didn't know the answer, so he just said, "We love you, Alex."
Yeah, and Alex was crying, was in tears.
Yeah.
That was great.
Then there was one that was recently where the guy admitted that, you know, when he came to America, Alex Trebek is the one he watched and helped him learn how to speak
English. That's pretty cool. Think about this. If you watched a French game show over and over again, would you learn French from it?
Eventually, right?
I would think you would, but it's also not that easy. That's amazing that a guy learned English from Alex Trebek and Jeopardy. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic.
But the GOAT standard for us, you had mentioned it before. I had to pull the clip. So bear with us. It's about a minute and a half, but it's a minute and a half of pure enjoyment.
Football 200. Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. An option play. Ryan?
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans. Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor, with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
That's the best.
It's the best.
They really, none of them knew any of those answers.
No, they just look, I mean, watch the video again. Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a treat. Just watch it again. And it's just, you just, all through, I mean, just put the buzzers down at that moment. None of them were just looking. And Alex Trebek, I mean, it's getting funnier and funnier with Alex as the category is going on, because not one person is ringing in.
Nobody gets any. That's funny. It's funny. If I was on that show, that might have been the only money I would have won.
Now, yeah, I don't want to.
Like, this African, you know, king was, and I would have been like, I don't know. And they would have known him. Yeah.
I don't want us to come across being sports hogs. Or right. Sports know-it-alls, or whatever thing, you know, you want to tag us with. But, I mean, some of those seemed really easy.
Well, yeah, some of them really did. The first one off the bat, he it's almost like, well, the quarterback can decide.
Well, he's
like, it's a term, you know, like you could go, well, option? That sounds like I don't know anything about football, but well, does option work?
The first line was, you can answer this or don't.
Yeah. Right. So you could take a guess, even if you're like, I don't know anything about the game. Just take a guess at what that is. It was only, $200?
Yeah.
Take a shot.
Offsetting, that's hard. Offsetting's hard. But, I mean, I think I would have thought anyone, you would know who Tom Landry is. Like,
when I was in school, Trivial Pursuit was a big deal, and we would have Winter Carnival, and we each grade would create a Trivial Pursuit team. And I used to get asked, because I used to know a lot about sports, and I used to think it was a badge of honor. Now I know it's kind of geeky. It was kind of like nerdy.
Yeah.
So they were really bringing me on as like the sports nerd, not like a big
But we're on the right side of nerdy.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. It's one of the best clips.
That is one of the best clips. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is I am feeling bad for Arizona State's Tyler Johnson. I don't know if you caught Arizona State versus USC.
I saw
USC.
A little bit of this, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, Tyler Johnson, defensive end for Arizona State. He sacks the quarterback, sacks USC's Caden Slovis. I hope I'm saying his last name right. And then immediately runs off the field heading to the locker room. Immediately.
Right. That's right.
And you can hear the announcers go, there's only one reason why you run off the field that quickly. And then he came back, and he's laughing a little bit. He's skipping. So there's only one reason why he ran off that field.
I always wondered about that. What do you just – that's what you just do, right?
I think maybe back in the old days they just went.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I think Mark Schlereth said that's what you just did. You just went.
You just did your business right there, then and there. Yeah. But he's wearing white pants. You can't do that, right?
That's true. You can't do that.
You can't do it in white pants.
Wearing darker colors, you could, but you can't.
But it is funny because, I mean, it was a great sack, and then he immediately looks at the sideline, and he's like looking at his coach like, yeah, I'm going this way.
Yeah, I'm going.
Get somebody on.
Good for you. Yeah.
And I just feel bad because TV cameras, commentators, they picked up on it right away. And,
of course.
And, is that going to define him? I don't know.
Who did the game? Was that Gus Johnson?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, because that team, they would have been on top of that big time.
I don't think it was Gus Johnson.
I think it, well, okay.
I don't know.
I think it might have been Joel Klatt. He's smart. He would have known it. Quarterback of Colorado. He would have been smart.
It was funny, though.
Why they did that. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is about this man who got banned from Yellowstone National Park.
Why?
Because
he was banned.
He was trying to cook a chicken in a hot spring.
Does that work?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's boiling water. You can put a pot of chicken over some boiling water, and eventually it's going to cook.
I guess
you're
right.
Apparently what he did was he didn't go to like where the main touristy hot springs are. I mean, I've been to Yellowstone a couple of times, so I have a familiarity with this place. But he parked the car and then was with a group of others, and he hiked up. I guess there's hiking trails all throughout Yellowstone. And there's one that led to a hot spring that's a little bit more secluded, a little bit more private. But he walked up there with two chickens.
So they banned him from the park? Did they arrest him too? Well, I know that. I'm not questioning the ban.
I don't know.
I'm saying I was wondering if it was a crime.
Yeah, it's a $1,200 fine.
But is it like you could go to jail for that?
I don't know if you can go to jail.
Seems like you could.
I would think.
Yeah, I mean, that's messing around with the... I mean, they don't, you know...
He had two whole chickens in burlap sacks and just hiked on up to the hot spring and went to go cook them over some hot springs.
It's amazing that he thought, like, that would work. Like, that would be something that people would allow him to do that.
Or that wasn't an issue.
Yeah, that wasn't a problem. Like I was saying, like, people would just let him do that. Like, yeah. What are you doing with those chickens? I'm going to put them in the hot spring. Oh, of course. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Do you need any seasonings? We sell that at the store. You can also get some sides, too. They're really good. You just stick them over one of the other grates, and you get some nice mashed potatoes. It'll work out great with that meal. Yeah, exactly. What was he thinking?
I just want a picture. I want video of this.
Let's say you were allowed to do that. Right? Let's say they said, okay, fine. Is that healthy? Like, is that water?
It's
boiling water. So I'm assuming that it's cleansed, you know, it doesn't have, you know, without the impurities,
right,
but is it a different kind of water that's boiling? Like, is it?
I mean, well, I know it's got that sulfuric smell to it. So
yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, I don't know much about the science of that stuff, but I'm wondering, like, if I take my bottled water and I pour it in a pan or just my tap water and boil it, that's one thing. But if I'm putting boiling water in a hot spring, is that got different stuff in it that would make the chicken kind of poisonous or not taste good or whatever?
Or
like,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe it's more natural because, you know, it's all mineral rich.
Maybe so. Maybe it'll make it more rustic.
And it's just heated by Earth's core.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you need a lot of salt?
he went up there with burlap sacks, but I mean, you know, did they stop to think like the other guy carrying a backpack full of pots and pans?
You know? I know, right?
Like, where are you going with those? Oh, don't worry. My buddy's coming up later. We're having a big old barbecue up here.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Hey, everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever, a sign of COVID-19. Stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. All right. We've got Matt Michelle joining us. We'll talk some college football with him as we roll along on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So Saturday night, Clemson and Notre Dame. What a classic that was. Double overtime, South Bend.
Much fun.
So much fun. Good game. DJ Uiagalelei is going to be a factor in the ACC now, and South Carolina is not going to be Clemson in probably the rest of my life.
Does Trevor come back?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. I would, even if the Jets have the number one pick, I think there's ways you can pull an Eli and just say, I'm not going.
Well, I'm just saying there's no, like we said at the beginning of the year, there's really no reason for Trevor to play this season.
Right.
But he did get a few games in, a few quality starts. Now that he's sick and DJ's doing okay, does Clemson sit back and go,
you know, no, they're going to play Trevor Lawrence.
I guess Clemson will want to. Does Trevor need to?
The question isn't that. The question is, does he want to? College football is a different life, and it's a different experience, and guys want to. There are guys that love it. They love it. There is a level of being able to play that game without money and without the business side of it. You know, Steve Spurrier once talked about this, that he coached college for all of those years, coached at Duke, coached at Florida. Then he left Florida and coached the Redskins. And when he realized he was dealing with grown men who are paid to play the game, it was an entirely different world. And he anticipated that, but he didn't realize what a different world that was. You know, he thought he could do the old rah-rah college thing, tell guys when to do this, when to do that. And guys were like, nope, see my agent. Nope, call my union rep. Nope, we're not doing that. And he was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, it's like kind of a wake-up call. I think there are certain athletes, Peyton Manning was one of them, that just realized, look, I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to do this again, ever. I'm never going to play on a campus, a college campus, college atmosphere, same level of enthusiasm. And I think they don't want to – they realize – I don't want to give it up. Now, there are guys who are like, I will not play one more second of this. And I've urged people to do it. I remember Leonard Fournette. I remember Leonard Fournette when he was at LSU. I remember so many times saying, walk into Les Miles' office and be finished. Like, he was way, like, just too close for calls in some games. And yeah. I wish Marcus Latimer, for example, of South Carolina, had done that. I wish he had two devastating knee injuries in his time at South Carolina. He never made a dime as a professional player.
Was it Willis McGahee?
Willis McGahee, I mean, same thing, yeah.
He played, but he was never effective.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can change your life in a negative way. You know, when I was at school at South Carolina, we had a quarterback named Todd Ellis who people thought could play in the pros. He suffered a devastating leg injury my freshman year, and now he's the play-by-play announcer, and he became a lawyer and a play-by-play announcer. He never became an NFL pro. Had a cup of coffee with the Broncos, but never became a pro. Now, I don't know. I mean, people were speculating that he could play. I don't really know if he could have, but I know that injury, he was never the same player again. So it depends. I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence – and you're going to be number one, and you know you're going to be number one, and it's the Jets, you may not want to play there. At the same time, you may just want to be like, look, I'm going to be the number one. I never know what's going to happen. So I never know what's going to happen to me. I don't know if there's a Joe Burrow out there that's going to come on the college football scene and take that spot away from me. I don't know. Maybe there isn't. Maybe there is. But I might as well strike while the iron's hot, because the monetary value of being the number one overall pick is nothing like any other selection in the draft. So I might as well take advantage of it while I can. But the fact that they've got this freshman kid, the DJ Uiagalelei, is scary to me as a South Carolina fan who loves the rivalry. But a rivalry ain't a rivalry if it's one-sided. And it's been one-sided for a while. It really has. But as I was saying at the top of the hour, With Notre Dame entering the ACC just for this year, it's done something to the ACC that I don't think they could ever recreate. I mean, they would really need to figure out, like, another team would have to come out of nowhere and be super good, like, for them to have two teams that go to the college football playoff. But you add a Notre Dame team in there that's already came into this season with high expectations and then playing the way they're playing, beating the number one team, you could have Notre Dame and Clemson in the playoff. Because Clemson, if Clemson runs the think about this scenario. How are you, if you're the committee, how would you turn down one of these two teams? How would you turn down a Clemson team that has Trevor Lawrence and a couple of defenders back from injury that run the table and win the SEC title, maybe beating Notre Dame in the process? And then how would you turn down Notre Dame if their only loss is a close ACC championship game to Clemson? Like, how would you turn either one of those teams down?
Yeah, you can't.
You're right, you can't.
I mean, I guess
like, no matter how
way.
Good other teams are, like, they've just showcased on Saturday night that neither one of them, like, when you get a double overtime game like that, and again, one team was banged up defensively, and another kid making his second start played really, really well, throw two touchdowns, ran for another over 400 yards through the air. You had a game where you could walk, like, you're the ACC, go, take your pick. Either one of these guys are good. Either one of these guys could be one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, if you're the committee, do you secretly hope that Notre Dame loses to Boston College?
Maybe so, yeah.
Just to make life a little bit easier?
Now, as Pete Futek pointed out, Miami is still in play here for an ACC title. Miami is still in play. So the Hurricanes are playing. They just beat NC State over the weekend, but they've got a situation where they could make some noise. They've already lost to Clemson once, but if Notre Dame were to lose, they could get in this thing. So there, you know, there's some possible. Oh no, if Clemson loses again, Miami could be in this thing. So they're not quite done yet. Those aren't going away, the two best teams. But let's say that doesn't happen, because I don't think it will happen. I think Clemson came away with enough moxie from that game to be like, my God, our second string quarterback is outstanding, and our defense, it was down two key guys, or a couple of key guys, but mostly two key guys that we could, you know, that we could still be one of the top teams in the country. So
but, I was just surprised. I didn't think the game was going to be that close.
Me either. I didn't either.
I didn't really give Clemson that much credit.
Yeah.
I thought Notre Dame was like, you know, you guys got your A team going up against Clemson's B team. I thought for sure it was, I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. I didn't think it was going to be Saints Buccaneers.
Right. but listen, at the same time, I mean, DJ didn't play all that great for a while against Boston College, right? So there was an idea of, well, this ain't no Boston College he's playing. And if he kind of struggled against the Eagles, maybe some of that leaks into a really good Irish team that causes Notre Dame to sort of win going away. And then we have questions about what Clemson looks like with Trevor Lawrence back. What would they be to the committee? But he played great. He played great. So it's another one of those situations, again, for the conference, it's good for the conference, because it's It reminds me, Clemson's dominance in the ACC reminded me of Florida State for years and years and years and years. I mean, Bobby Bowden would have Florida State cruising in the ACC. No one would be close. Every now and then they might lose to like NC State or Virginia Tech or something like that. But, you know, Florida State was head and shoulders above everybody, including Frank Beamer's teams. But still, this is now interesting for the ACC as they go by. Florida beat Georgia and beat them really badly. Yeah. I was, first of all, Kyle Trask, if you don't know Kyle Trask, Florida struggled last year with Felipe Franks at quarterback, and they would win games and they kind of lose some narrow escapes, if you will. And they finally had a game where Franks was hurt. It was against Kentucky, and they were getting beat pretty badly in Lexington. And Trask came in and saved the day. Backup quarterback, saved the day. Ended up with the job. Florida had a pretty good season last year with 10 wins. Not a pretty good, a really good season with 10 wins. And then this year, they were ranked, and there were some expectations. Florida's defense will give you a headache because it's not very good. But Trask is really good. And they are now in the driver's seat to go to Atlanta and probably play Alabama or somebody else in the West. If it's not Alabama, it's probably going to be Texas A&M. But
quick question for you.
Yes.
Where's Liberty University?
Liberty University is in Virginia.
Is it in Virginia?
It's in Virginia. I thought it was in North Carolina for years, but I was told it was in Virginia by a buddy of mine that did go to school there. That is Hugh Freeze's team. Remember Hugh Freeze?
Yeah.
That's the guy who used a school phone to solicit, like, a prostitute or something?
No, I thought he dialed the wrong
strippers
number.
Strippers or something? Yeah, right.
He dialed
right.
the wrong number and just stayed on the line a little bit longer.
I actually made the proclamation this weekend because South Carolina got rolled by Texas A&M. That's a good Texas A&M team, but they killed them. I mean, killed them. And I'm done with Will Muschamp. I'm done with Will Muschamp. And I said to a friend of mine, I said, I don't care if you hire Billy Napier out of Louisiana, who I like a lot, I've always liked, since he was a Clemson offensive coordinator when he was like 28 years old. Or get me Hugh Freeze right now. I don't care. I need a new head coach at South Carolina.
His coaching stock's gone way up. I mean,
way
if you could
up.
Do that at Liberty.
Yep. Way up. I'm telling you, man, we talk about this all the time. You and I have, this is a drum you and I have beaten to death, where you have these hiccups in your life, as these coaches do, a little scandal, little trouble, an embarrassing phone call or an embarrassing situation or caught on tape doing this. But if you can win, you will always have a job. The only thing you can't do is what Art Briles did. But if it's pretty forgivable, if the crime is pretty forgivable, you will keep a job. Like Art Briles, that's unforgivable. What he did at Baylor is unforgivable.
Sick.
But calling a prostitute with a school phone, people are going to get over that. But if you can win, you'll always get
or,
a job.
You know, I'll bring up another one, Rick Pitino situation.
Rick Pitino, same thing.
Yes,
you can put a school on probation and get a job and still get a gig. You could have the NCAA coming in with a hammer, the nails, nail your program to the cross, right? Bury your program in sanctions. But if you can show you can turn a program around, you will get a gig. You will get a gig. Like I said, the only thing, Art Briles is probably on the no hire list for everybody.
Forever.
But Hugh Freeze was not. Hugh Freeze was going to overcome that scandal. And now he's at Liberty. And I'm telling you, a guy like me is like, call him up, offer him $4 million, $5 million a year. I don't care.
Yeah.
But get Will Muschamp out of here and hire Hugh Freeze. It's nuts. Matt Michelle joins us next. We'll talk some college football with him as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Well, as we've been talking NFL, time to go to the college game. Let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Matt Michelle joins us, Orlando Sentinel, college football. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. Listen, big takeaway for you for the double overtime classic in South Bend for each of those teams.
I think the takeaway for me, you know, when you look at Notre Dame, I think this was this is their signature moment for them. You know, for the, during the Brian Kelly era, at least, you know, that they needed this kind of win to kind of show that, you know, what Brian Kelly has done over the last 8 or 9 years, you know, has been led up to this point. You know, that they really are considered a national contender, and I think the way they played Saturday night, you know, the way that the defense stepped up when it needed to, the way that Ian Book was able to make those plays when it counted, you know, it was big for them. And I think it puts them right into the, you know, national, not only just the college football playoff, you know, discussion, but it also puts them into discussion for a possible national championship. So that's why I took from Notre Dame. And from Clemson, listen, this is still a very good team, you know, and this is a team that is probably more than likely going to be in the playoff as well, even if we went with one loss. And these two teams are probably more likely going to meet again in the ACC championship. So it was probably the best game we've seen all year.
I get it that Notre Dame is in the ACC because of COVID and whatnot, but now that conference has a legitimate shot of putting two teams in the playoff.
Yeah, very much so. This is the chance for them to get, you know, and it would be great for them. And it's unfortunate in some ways that this will be the only year that it'll probably happen.
Yeah, right.
To get in there, because, you know, Notre Dame is not going to, you know, not going to remain in the ACC after this. I've heard some people say, "Well, this proves they should stay in the ACC." It's not going to happen. They're going to return to independence because they like that. But this is kind of a good teaser of what it might be like. And I think if you're in the ACC, you know, maybe you nudge, you go up to Notre Dame after everything's all said and done, and you say, "Well, listen, here's what happened, and look at, maybe represent your best chance, and maybe start to rethink that." So maybe this is a catalyst to maybe sort of eventually getting Notre Dame into a conflict down the road. But I think it's great to see, and I think it's, these two teams have obviously put on a good showcase. And again, this sort of, unfortunately, kind of maybe starts to shut the door on whether or not we'll see a group of five teams possibly make it into the playoff as well.
In Notre Dame, over for the last decade, playoff, not playoff, but whenever they've had a team that's been in the national conversation, national championship conversation, and have had a chance to showcase that team on that stage, have not done very well. That's a fair criticism of Brian Kelly, right? That he has not delivered a team that looks the part when they get to the big stage.
Yeah, that's a fair criticism. And listen, you know, when you think about Notre Dame and you look at Brian Kelly's, you know, tenure there, you know, he's obviously done an amazing job, you know, with the wins and stuff. But he's sitting on a coaching tree right now there that's got guys like Arif Harsesian and Lou Holtz and, you know, Newt Lawton, guys who've all went on to win national championships. So whether it's fair or not, he's always going to be measured by that level. You know, you've got to get this, you know, you've had time. You've got to get this program back to the national spotlight and back to playing for a national championship. And he got him there in 2012, but it's been just kind of hit and miss since then. And I think he's, last couple of years, you've seen the program kind of start to rise up again. This is probably going to be his best chance to get a team into the national championship discussion.
All right, your thoughts on the Florida Gators, who beat Georgia and pretty well in Jacksonville. They are now 6. They're now 4-1. Does the Gator defense cause enough concern when we're talking winning the SEC?
Well, you know, I think they've gotten better. I mean, when you look at what happened a couple, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, when they lost to Texas A&M, you know, obviously there were a lot of concerns. A&M was able to kind of move the ball at will against them, and the legitimate concerns, you know. But you've seen, you know, since they've gone through that break with COVID, you know, they've played better. And I think they played really well against, you know, Georgia. Now, you know, they were able to take advantage of some mismatches. They were able to make, you know, Georgia's offense one-dimensional, and that was basically throwing the football. And then, you know, Stetson Bennett and Georgia quarterbacks weren't able to do much with that. I think when you look at what Kyle Trask has done, what that offense has been able to do, you know, there's so many legitimate weapons at wide receiver, at tight end. Kyle Pitts, you know, when he's healthy, is almost unstoppable. This is a Florida team right now I would consider just as good as Alabama when we're talking about in the SEC. So this is going to be fun. If they can continue to stretch and get into the championship game and face the Crimson Tide possibly, that could be for the first time in SEC history, we could see, you know, the over being maybe 75 points, you know, when we're talking about this, because it's going to be an explosive type of game.
How are you reading the Big 12 this year? Oklahoma's starting to come around a little bit. Oklahoma State, and Texas is now ranked. How do you evaluate where that conference is?
Well, you know, again, I think they're strong, but I don't think it's anywhere near what it should be. And when we talk about them, you're always going to be judged about how the other Power 5 conferences do when you look at the SEC and the ACC. So for the Big 12, you know, it doesn't look like they have a legitimate shot at getting a team into the college football playoff. I mean, I think Oklahoma State has played well this year. I think they're playing well with the defense. I think the defense has been outstanding for them. Oklahoma obviously had pickups early on. They're starting to pick things up again. They need to play better defense, and Texas has played well. Iowa State is right there, despite having those early, you know, the early loss to Louisiana. To me, I think I'm looking at probably Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Their Bedlam game in a couple weeks is probably, to me, going to be a big factor determining who's going to be in that race for the Big 12. But in the end, it's always going to come back to, did you get a team in the playoff? And this looks like a year that they're going to miss again this year. So it's not going to happen. So
One of the problems is that, and I know we're talking about a committee that does look at the you know, crumbs of everything, right? But at the same time, when you have a situation like we're having where you can play one outside conference game and all your conference games, the big cry is, well, we're beating each other up. But that doesn't mean you're good. It just means you're beating each other up. And it's not sellable if you come out with a team that's got one or two losses and wins the conference.
Yeah, I mean, again, and that's what the Big 12 has done. I think the Pac-12 is going to go through that similar.
Same thing,
where,
yeah.
You know, again, you're going to beat up on each other, and you're going to eventually, you know, your best team may not have, you know, may have one or two losses because, you know, again, it's going to be a tough road to go. And I think that the biggest challenge for the committee, the college football playoff committee this year, it's just going to be the number of the differences between the leagues when it comes to the number of games. You know, Pac-12 is playing 7 games. You know, you look at the SEC playing, you know, what was it, 11? You look at, or 10, you look at, you know, the ACC playing, you know, as many games as they can, you know, and the Big 10 as well. They're going to be such an uneven resume for all these teams. How does the selection committee look at all these games and say, okay, well, this conference is just as strong as the SEC, or this is just as strong as the ACC? That's why I think when we talked about the ACC getting two teams in the playoffs is very much a possibility because, again, look at the Big 10. Ohio State's great, but they've got to finish out. They've got to play all their games. But they're only going to play 8 games. Is that enough when you're looking at a Notre Dame resume or when you're looking at a Clemson resume? Is that going to be enough to overpass them? I think it's going to be a very tough year for the selection committee. I think it's going to be a decision no matter what. That's going to be kind of controversial in some regards.
When you look at the rankings, when you look at the AP and the coaches, you here are teams like Louisiana, they're out of the Sun Belt. Coastal Carolina, the same thing. You've got Liberty in there as well. You've got Marshall. I was just going to talk about Marshall for a quick second. Is that more of a COVID situation, which we just don't have enough resume, or is that would they be in a top 25 at this point with their record and the way they're playing?
You know, I think some of it is COVID. I think early on, especially not having the Big Ten and the Big 12 or the Pac-12 in there as well, I think you see some of these teams. But I think in some regards, some of these teams are teams that are really, you know, that have done things that I think really kind of benefits them. They're senior-laden teams. They're teams that have a lot of experience. They're able to step in and play and go through some of the challenges that they're having. And I think it's great to see. I love seeing a team like, you know, BYU, I love seeing Liberty, I love seeing Marshall and Coastal Carolina all being undefeated. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, again, you know, they can make a serious run, BYU particularly, you know, for the playoff, and Cincinnati as well. But again, everyone's got to go undefeated, and it's going to be a challenge. And as we get farther along with this and we see numbers spiking with the pandemic, it's going to be a challenge for some of these teams to get there. I love to see them in the top 25. I love to see as many as we can. But again, you're going to see a little bit more movement now that the Pac-12 is back. And now that you're going to see maybe the Big Ten have a couple teams. But both those conferences have struggled. I mean, you know, Big Ten particularly early on. So it's going to be interesting to see.
And God bless the athletic directors of schools like BYU, Liberty. How do they put together a schedule when it's not just dangerous to play, but it's also, like, uncomfortable to go, look, we're already playing it within – we've already got, like, 8 games within conference. We don't need to play you. Like, why are we doing that? And Boise State's up to the challenge, and, you know, Houston is up for the challenge. I mean, BYU's no joke.
Yeah, no, they are. And, you know, BYU had to create its schedule basically, you know, out of thin air, you know,
right,
because of what happened with COVID. And, you know, for them to do that, you know, it's unfortunate, too, in some ways, because they lost the game to Army, which is a ranked team at the moment, you know. So BYU right now sitting at number 8, let's say, in the poll, AP poll, you know, their rest of their schedule is not very strong at all. You know, they would love to get another game against a strong opponent. It's not going to happen, probably. So, you know, to them, they're going to have to finish what they started and hope maybe it's enough to impress people. But, you know, these athletic directors have had to do, you know, really amazing work to get these games together, especially outside the Power 5, because once the Power 5 circled the wagon and said, we're not really going to go out and play non-conference games, it became difficult. You know, then you end up playing yourself, and you hope that maybe that's enough to get you enough, you know, a good enough, you know, record, a good enough ranking to maybe make some impressions. So there are going to be some, believe me, there are going to be non-Power 5 teams in the top 25 with all said and done. Now, if they get anyone in the playoffs, I'm just not sure that's going to happen again this year.
Yeah, if you were in a conference like Big 12 or ACC, and you're going to get to schedule one non-conference game, BYU is probably not the first call you make.
No, not at all. Right? I mean, we saw a little bit of that. You don't want to. Obviously, you didn't want to play a tough school. You know, they wanted to play someone that was a little, you know, that they could beat up on because they needed that kind of maybe, you know, extra win to help things out or to get their team started. And I think you saw that. You saw a lot of teams just kind of pull back from some of these big games, and they went after, you know, some other schools that they thought would give them an opportunity. And I think it's interesting. And you saw the benefit in some cases, in some cases not. You know, they had to reschedule two or three times or just missed a game as well. So it's been an interesting year for being athletic director when it comes to scheduling.
Absolutely. Matt Marshall, again, I love talking to you. Hopefully catch you soon because we still got a lot of other things to get to. Thanks a lot, my friend.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
You got it. Matt Marshall joining us from the Orlando Sentinel. I didn't even get to Indiana. That's off to a 3-0 start. I can't wait till they play Ohio State in late November for a classic. When was the last time that happened? By the way, The Athletic delivers every sports story that matters. The Athletic has full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. I subscribe to The Athletic. I love it. I check it, again, four or five times a day. As soon as I sign in, my favorite teams are right on the page, right immediately on the page. Any news stories pop up on the Steelers, South Carolina, anybody that I root for is right there. Plus, even if I don't root for them, I can go into team pages to get an analysis of anybody in the NBA, NHL, NHL, I mean, NFL, Major League Baseball, motorsports, whatever I need. They've got writers all over that just cover those specific teams. And plus, you get national names, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, David Aldridge, Stuart Mandel, Robert Mays. So whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge or a long-term outlook on your NBA team, The Athletic has the sports coverage you need. You can subscribe today for $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. That's at theathletic.com/radioweek. Check them out. Really, really good stuff. All right, we'll wrap it up coming up on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Monday Night Football tonight, Patriots and Jets. That should be a good one, right? Am I missing something?
Yeah.
Yeah, 0-8, four-game losing skid. Can I tell you something, though? I don't think a lot of people are going to watch tonight because two teams, but let's say the Jets win and embarrass the Patriots, maybe win by, like, 8 or 9 or 10.
That's a talking point.
That right? Then everyone's going to say they watched it.
Yep.
Right. Everyone will say, "Oh yeah, yeah. No. I couldn't. I was so excited. I was like watching the Patriots lose to a winless Jets team. Oh, I stayed up all night." Reality is, nobody did.
Yeah,
nobody
you were watching The Voice. Don't lie.
Yeah, you're watching The Voice. Don't lie. Whatever else is on any Monday. So that's too bad. I don't. You know, look. I know that. Didn't the Jets close out the year strong? Kind of gave you some sort of sense, like, oh, you know what, man, the mononucleosis was bad, but they kind of played pretty well at the end of the season.
I honestly don't remember.
I'm looking it up right now because I'm trying to. Yeah, they did. They won 6 of their last 8 games. Okay. They finished 7-9. At one point, they were 1-7, and then turned it around with the win against the Giants, won 3 straight, and then beat Miami, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo to close out the season.
Maybe this is the game then. Maybe they just need to play the Patriots.
Right. So you can understand why. The Monday Night Football schedule was like, hey, you know what? The Jets weren't so terrible last year when Sam Darnold got back from mono, and the Patriots are going to have something new, something different.
Yeah.
We don't know what that is. Let's throw them on Monday Night Football. Let's just see what happens.
Now you
get a dud of a game.
I'm definitely going to start it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to start.
So another question if I finish.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if I end up watching another 38-3 showdown,
no.
I can't do it 2 nights in a row. I'm sorry.
By the way, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. One other note. Last night in that game, Antonio Brown missed on a route, right? It was just before the half.
Yeah.
He missed on a route, right? That led to an interception. He stopped short. Brady thought he was going to go longer.
Yeah.
He ended up throwing it and it was picked off. And then Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were having a conversation about Antonio Brown, and they were talking about how Bruce Arians said there's going to be a no-tolerance policy here. I don't know if you saw that exchange, but it looked to me as if both guys were rather disgusted that Antonio Brown was back in the league, was getting a chance. I'm not trying to read into their minds.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it in the typical, you know what? He's in this league. He's talented. He's made some mistakes, and they're giving him a second chance. It was more like,
what I want to see is I want to see what the ride home was like.
Yeah, right?
Or, you know, when they went downstairs to the kitchen to go get a glass of water and they happened to run into each other. You know, did Brady keep going and they bump into each other? Brady goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to stop.
That's right. That's right. Do you think Brady's the kind of guy it's really, really quiet? And then Antonio Brown goes, man, I just wanted to shut up. Don't talk. Do not talk. Okay? Or do you think it could be that powerful? Or do you think he's more like doing what you did, joking around with it? Like, oh, I thought you were going to stop. I thought you were going to keep going.
I don't know.
You're going to keep going through the kitchen. Exactly. Patriots and Jets, Monday Night Football. Jake Asman Show coming up next, Sports Map Radio.